agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
And a quarter down 3 1/4. July soybeans 14.63 1/4 down 7. Novies are 12.17 3/4. They are up 1. March of 15 are 12.28 3/4. Up 1. July soybean meal 4.78 40 down $3. July soybean oil 40.83 down 21 cents. June live cattle 137.45 up 5. May feeders 186.35, they are up 20. And June lean hogs are 119.40 and they are down 2 1/2.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Mike.
Show. It was on WGBR in Goldsboro.
Are you there, Mike? Don't seem to have Michael on the air. Let's go ahead and read some news for you. Informa Economics predicts in its May review that U.S. farmers will plant 82.1 million acres to soybeans and 91.6 million acres to corn. Informa's soybean estimate is 580,000 acres higher than USDA's prospective planting estimate last March, while the corn estimate is 110,000 acres lower. Informa based its latest estimates on a farmer survey conducted in May, economic signals, and the planting conditions to date. Informa increased its estimate of prevented planting acres by 490,000, bringing the national total to 3.6 million acres. Now on the phone, Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics out of Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
How you doing today, Dave?
I am doing well. How about yourself, sir?
I saw some snow north of you there in Illinois. Are you getting your skis back out?
Oh, I tell you, I did have to get out the long, heavier jacket today, week as well. And in fact, I'm thinking some of that corn is probably shriveling a bit.
Yeah, the trade doesn't have its mind too much on the current weather pattern,
no.
I don't think. I think it's really talking more about El Nino this week and really watching the wheat fall and the spread start to break down here and the intercommodity spread. So it seems like this week, from the people I've talked to, it's really been more about El Nino than it has been the crop conditions for wheat or what you're dealing with in that part of the country for getting some more corn and bean planting completed.
Yeah, and technicals. I think this week has been driven by technicals, too.
Absolutely. I think the USDA report really ignited the seasonal and technical break that, you know, we had talked about last Friday, that this was a time period where without an April break to the downside, the market looked tired, the technicals looked tired, and you brought that up. And I think combining that with the seasonals, you really had a USDA report that said, yes, we know we're tight right now, but don't worry, the global ending stocks are going to be big, and what's coming in 6-8 months is going to be even bigger, so don't worry about it. And I think the trade took that as a cue to go ahead and take on the technicals and test them and break the seasonal pattern like we probably thought it should, given the May break and the fact that we got caught up on planting on the Monday report.
I suppose the only thing surprising is how fast, and that has people probably nervous, but one would think that maybe we're in a place where this market might catch and go sideways from here for a bit.
Well, and I think, you know, that would certainly be how I would see it from a micro fundamental, micro supply-demand fundamental perspective, especially given that the hard red wheat is leading the declines. And I don't think most of the fundamentals in hard red wheat, excluding the possibility that there's Canadian wheat coming into the Pacific Northwest that's offsetting some of the hard red wheat out there, excluding that, I don't see hardly any negative fundamentals on the supply-demand. And even today, Egypt came out with a tender, and although we didn't get the wheat bid and the Ukraine did, we came in at U.S. soft red wheat at $280, $282 a ton. So the talk this week that the U.S. price of wheat's not competitive on the world market is just not supportive after this week's price drop, especially. And you saw Strategies Grains come out with the EU exports for soft wheat, raising it a third month in a row, and now it's at an all-time high for their demand for exports. So the talk out there about too high a price in U.S. wheat and that the demand's slowing, I just don't buy into that. So I think the supply-demand markets and the fundamentals there would suggest that we should go sideways. I would say and reiterate what we talked about last week, you could be lower into the third week of May if you want to pull a full seasonal break out of the hat here. And keep in mind, you know, when you talked about how bad the break was and the expectation there, these are supply-led markets, so they're going to be real violent and nasty to the guys that are watching the screen every day.
Let's turn our attention to soybeans. Soybeans holding its own, although it does appear there's some unwinding of the bull spreads.
Yeah, exactly. And this is exactly contrary to the USDA report. And I think this is where the trade is back in a fund-driven mindset, and that supports that view. I think one thing that I've been trying to press a lot of information out to my livestock clients this week, when it comes to the soy meal, we have a potential squeeze coming. We have a potential squeeze that if we don't get Chinese imports into this country, I think it could be a substantial, if not historical, squeeze on meal. I'm hearing a lot out of Decatur, Illinois. I'm hearing a lot out of Indiana right now as far as coverage of processors, the likelihood that they will have to shut down and slow their crushing down a little bit here, kind of like a livestock packer, if they don't get the beans they need this summer. And it kind of makes you start to wonder whether we're not going to see a soybean price action more similar to last year, where we went higher to sharply higher into mid-June, instead of what I've been talking about with you on the phone and on the air about a 2004 type break, where the high is made like a 2004 market. So really looking hard. I've already gotten livestock needs covered for the middle of the summer with my livestock people. I'm really looking hard at maybe buying back some 13 beans with actually August meal calls, with the idea that the funds are so long in beans already, I really don't want to be in the bean market with how long they already are. And if the South American crop does come up here, I kind of feel like fundamentals will support the meal a little bit better than the beans here.
I do not know how to read what's going on in China with their largest crusher saying we'll take the hit, and with us importing 40,000 tons of soybean oil into the China for the 13-14 marketing year today.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was in the exact same boat you were Tuesday when that came out, and I thought, what is going on here? And then yesterday, it broke that their crushing margins are back to positive and looking pretty good now, and I thought, well, now it makes sense. They're willing to take the beans because their crushing margins are back. I think that is probably the majority of what it was, but I think also because they import 12% of the Chinese beans total, that they realized that if they did cancel their buying contacts and their letters of credit and things like that would probably be pretty messed up. And so I think those two things were the main drivers of this. But this brings you right to the point, because I was talking to Tom Fritz at EFG yesterday about this whole situation and the analysis and the research with some of my livestock producers I've been working on. And he said, I don't know this for a fact, but he said, it seems to me that the USDA is kind of counting on the imports of beans into this USDA report of 90 million bushels, and that's because of Chinese cancellation. So if the Chinese don't cancel as much, then you really have to question the import structure of us getting beans out of South America. And you know, you start talking about that, and you can start talking about a 115 or 120 carryover, Dave, and that changes the whole dynamic.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9. 89 FM HD3 Urbana.